get ready to go to Sukkot, we always have these teachings, or at least one, that talks about the tongue, talks about, you know, especially we want to have a great time. Amen? And a lot of times when we're living together for, in our case, 12 days, sometimes quarters get a little tight. And hopefully and prayerfully, all of the rain that we've been having, we won't have. Amen to that. And we will have cooler weather. Amen. Instead of being burning up, you know, in 100 degree heat and all of the above. So be praying that we'll have awesome weather at Sukkot. But also, I mean, we've been talking about and been singing about from our very lungs, and that's what I wanted to minister. It just so happened, there again, Jeremiah, we have not talked about these songs and what we're ministering, but I just thought that this was very important that we bring this out. And so in James 3:8 here, it says, "But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." Okay, Tammy, if you would, y'all don't have to because y'all know the scripture. Would you go to Jeremiah for me? Because I just wrote it, Jeremiah 17:9-10. Okay, now if you can see, here's a tongue, and the tongue's got teeth. And you see the Holy Scriptures, it says the Holy Bible, and it's trying to tame it. Because what the scripture in James says is this, that we can't tame it. And if we can't tame it, there's an issue. So something has to help us keep it in check. But really, why does the tongue say the things that it says? And that's what I wanted her to read in Jeremiah 17:9-10. I'll let her read it.
"The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, Yahweh, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds."
So we see that, and we'll read a scripture in a moment, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, the tongue wags. Okay? So what we have is you have the scripture. The more you know the scriptures, the more you read and the more you pray, the moment that something happens to you, that's causing something to boil up from your heart that isn't good, the scripture, the Holy Spirit in His Word, takes a whip and He says, "Ha! Get back in there and get sanctified before you come out." Amen. That's what it does. Before you let some evil thing roll off your tongue, before you have to go and repent and say, "I'm sorry, I wished I wouldn't have done this, that, or the other," the scriptures and the Holy Spirit can check it before it gets out. That's what the Holy Spirit and His Word is for. As we read it, and all of a sudden, because guys, sometimes, most of the time, when something comes out of our mouth, there is time to check it. Now, sometimes there is a reaction, and then we have to go through a process. If it's not speaking blessings, and if it was speaking cursings, we got to go through a process to make that right. Amen? That's what we do. So what happens is at Sukkot a lot of times, we have a lot of kids here, and they are awesome children. And they know that all property is community property. That's the way they look at things. So when you have ice chests full of drinks, if you're not careful, that's their drinks. So when I know that, because I'm out of mints, so all you kids, don't ask me for mints, Jika. Today, I'm out of them. But here's what happened. Jika will come up to me, Doug and Tara's little girl, and she'll say, "You got a mint?" I said, "Yeah, I'll give her a mint." But then here comes two or three more. You know what I'm saying? So she goes, and so at Sukkot, it's that way. So I'm just, at Sukkot, don't buy one thing, buy many. Go to Sam's, don't go to Dollar General. You know, go where you buy bulk. Because if you give something out, there will be a crowd that will gather and they will come back. And that's great and that's awesome. But that's just what happens. But sometimes, you know, when we're working together and we get in tight quarters, look, we're camping, guys. We're Sukkoting. And so you have to have a mindset that you already have to know that this is where you're going, and we're going to have an awesome, great time. Amen? And you know what? We've had awesome and great times. We've also had times where we've had to deal with situations. That's okay. We deal with them, but we would rather not. Let's just get it prepared now so that we understand that we'll let the scriptures. Now, we are not allowed to use a chair and a whip. Let the Holy Spirit use that. Amen? Okay. Now, the next scripture, next slide. Proverbs 18:21 says this, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." I want you to capitalize, before the death and the life part, I want you to capitalize on something. Those who love it will eat its fruit. We're going to see a scripture here in a moment that talks about a good person and an evil person. Understand, you will either be a good person in this life or an evil person, and you are going to produce fruit. What kind of fruit are we producing? That's the question that happens in our life. So death and life are in the power of the tongue. Let's go to the next slide. It is easier to build up a child than it is to repair an adult. I want that to sink in. Choose your words wisely. It is easier to build up a child than it is to repair an adult. That is beyond awesome. I saw that, I like to cry. You know, because of the deal is because we as parents, we as uncles and aunts and all of the above, what do we tell our children? Do we say, "You're sorry, you're no good, you'll never amount to anything"? If that speech comes out of us, then there will be repairing to do when that child becomes an adult. And there's people in this congregation that definitely not only understands that, has walked that out. But for us, we ought to know better. Do we discipline our children? Absolutely. Because there's a balance to it. It says that if you, spare the rod, you what? Spoil the child. That's not doing a child any good either. But the thing about it is this is why we as parents, we need to build our children up properly. The thing about it is just, you know, when I disciplined my children when they were young, I never disciplined them and just let them go. I always brought them back, hugged them, and told them I loved them. And I would always tell them this, "I don't love you because you shine, I love you because you're mine." That's the way it is. But love comes with discipline, because discipline is what? Discipleship. I am discipling, because one day they're going to grow up and then they're going to be responsible. You do the best you can. That's our job, is to do that. And it's up to them to walk it out. But the thing is this, in this here, death and life in the power of the tongue. All right, now let's go to Matthew 7. I want to, as we go through this, first part it says what? "Judge not that you be not judged." How many has ever heard that scripture? However, a million times, and most of the time you hear this scripture, it is out of context. Because I read an article just yesterday where the LGBT, ABC, whatever all these letters are, said, "Do not judge us for the way we are." They're using scripture that they don't even read, but they know that one. But the thing about it is homosexuality is an abomination. That's what Yahweh said, and that's what it is. I don't have a right to change that. That's what it is, and that's the way we stand. We don't change this book. But the thing is we want to bring some balance to this, because scripture, but let's look at what it's really saying here. "Judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged." So whatever judgment you render out to somebody, that judgment's going to come back into your lap. And it says, "In whatever measure you use it, it will be measured to you." But this is what he's talking about, verse 3. "Why do you see the speck?" I just want to read this, and then I'm going to read it in Loosedale English. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye and you do not notice the log that is in your own eye? To me, this is what he's saying. Why do you see the small offenses in your brother's eye and you do not notice the great offenses that you won't deal with in your own life? Why do we see the small offenses in our brothers when we're sitting here with big offenses that we have between us and we don't take care of them? This is what he's saying, the speck in your brother's eye. He's not saying you're not your brother's keeper. But he's saying this, is you got to first deal with your situation before you can help someone else. It says, or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is a log or great offenses in your own eye? He says, you hypocrites. He says, first take or deal with the great offenses in your own life. First deal with your problems first. So first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. You will be able to help. In other words, you will see clearly. You will properly, with the proper attitude, you will be able to help your brother with the small offenses that's going on in his life. But if you're sitting here with a log in your eye, you're going to harshly try to help your brother get a speck out. In other words, you're going to walk up whenever your brother has a small splinter or a small speck. We're going to go and we're going to operate to remove it with jackhammers, backhoes, and everything else. You see what I'm saying? Because there's great offenses that's going on. So we need to properly understand that we are to help one another. We are to help people. Ben and Candace will be getting married pretty soon, a couple of weeks. And here's the thing. There's people in part of the service is witnesses. What is a witness? The people that are going to be witnessing their vows have an obligation to remind them of their vows and their promises is what you do. You have an obligation. You can't make them, but you have an obligation as a witness to remind them. That's what witnesses are for, that we can help remind when we make a vow. When somebody comes down here, somebody accepts Yeshua as their Lord and Savior, and you know that, and they pronounce that, we're witnesses. And then when we see them backsliding, we have an obligation to go to them and help them and say, I remember the covenant that you've made between you and the Father. I remember that. So we have this obligation to in love. But here's the thing. If we're walking in sin, in gross sin, how are you going to go help somebody? You can't. Because your attitude is going to stink towards it. And you're going to condemn, and they're going to build a wall. That's not what it's about. So the Father, and this is Yeshua speaking here, is he saying, guys, we need to make sure that we take care of our issues. Then we will be able to see clearly how to help somebody else. Amen? Matthew 12 says this, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by what? Its fruit. It's real simple. We can only give what we produce. That's all he's saying. You can only give. If you're a good tree, you will produce good fruit. But if you're a bad tree, you're going to produce what? Bad fruit. You can't be bad, walk anti-Torah, you can't walk anti-His ways and think you're going to produce things that are good. It can't happen. It's real simple. I mean, this is so simple. If I plant an apple tree, and if I grow oranges, I need to check what I'm smoking. And I ain't smoking nothing, just to let you know. But I'm just telling you this. It's as simple as if you plant an apple seed, you are expecting and you will get apples. If somebody gives you a seed, because I don't know, you can give me a seed, I'll plant it. It may be cannabis. I don't know what's liable to come up. I'm just saying, most of us is just not plantologist. You know what I'm saying? So, but if you go and you plant a seed and somebody tells me I'm supposed to get an apple tree and I get an orange tree, somebody lied. And it ain't the seed's fault. The seed didn't lie. Somebody deceived me in it. Amen? So this is what he's saying here, guys. In our life, we can't live. We can't live like hell and shine like heaven. Amen? But that's just what I'm saying. You can't live like hell and shine like heaven. Amen? You can't do it. The thing about it is, you can walk around and think you're shining like heaven, but people will see the heat. They'll feel the heat coming off from you. Amen? That's the hypocrisy of it. I'm just saying, good people, good persons, good people, out of the good treasures, where are the treasures? In their heart? That's what he's saying. Where's your treasures at? There's scripture about that. Wherever your treasure is, your heart's going to be there also. So it's telling us, out of the very abundance of our heart, is going to be the fruit that we produce. Amen? Pretty easy. So far, I hadn't had to really an edit. I tell you that on Judgment Day, people will give account for what? Every careless word they speak. Now, that's really troubling to me. So that's why I repent every day. Several times every day. To make sure careless words. But it says on Judgment Day, we're going to give account for every careless word that they speak. For why? For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. This is on Judgment Day. This is sort of like Yeshua telling us this. This is not Paul's opinion here. This is Yeshua just flat telling us, and he's sitting in the judgment seat. So he ought to know what's going to happen on Judgment Day. So what are we doing here? We're trying to say this. Then if you get out of this word, I've done it. You get out of this word, you will start declining. It's a slow fade. It's a slow fade. I mean, you will still outwardly look good. Probably smell good. If you eat mints, your breath will be good. But you will slowly fade. To where you will get to a place to where you will make yourself think, I'm still okay. But people will say, what's wrong with Mark? What's going on with him? What's his countenance has changed? That's what happens. The countenance, you can't fake it for long. You can fake it for a day. You can come in here and polish your halo and shine and do everything. But you can't fake it with your family. You can't fake it. Because what happens is the countenance. Because what comes in here, you produce fruit. Where's fruit? Fruit ain't under the ground where the roots are. The fruits are going to hang off the end of the branches. And guess what? Everybody sees it. And you can see it from a long ways if it's apples and oranges and things like that. Eventually is what I'm saying. So if you're producing. So what's going on? This is time that we have a checkup for ourselves. This is checkup time for us as we're getting ready to go into the month of Elul and all. That's what we do. Because we're going to be celebrating Yom Kippur. And this is a time where the whole nation as a whole repents. And guys, if we sit here, and I didn't go through the first part of James, but James says this, we all stumble in many ways. You know, and he says, and if a person who can hold his tongue is a perfect man. I only know one perfect man, and that's Yeshua. And if anybody else has said that they have not sinned in their life, James also calls them a liar. You know, and the truth's not in them. Because in our life, because I can tell you this, since I've accepted Yeshua as my Lord and Savior, I've stumbled at least once, and twice if you ask Tammy. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just telling, no, I've stumbled many times. That's just what, I mean, it. But yet, the thing is like we've said before, Yeshua took our S, he took our sin, and he gave us his R, his righteousness. So, S on the chest is not a good thing. Instead of super, it meant sin. But yet, he took it, and he gave us his R, And that's where the transformation took place. So we owe it all to him, but yet, if we don't get in this, and if we don't pray and we don't let the Holy Spirit, guess what? If you don't put this in you, it can't come out of you. Amen? I'm just saying it. If it doesn't, this is, something's going in you every day. And whatever's going in you is what you're going to grow. What you sow is what you're going to grow. And what you sow, you're going to wear. And that's just the way it works. 2 Timothy chapter 2, the next slide, I think. There we go. It says this. Now, this is Paul. Remember, I told you before when Paul would speak to Timothy and to Titus, he is writing letters. These are personal letters that he is writing to these men. You will see him call names in these books. Now, letters that he wrote to Corinthians, and he would, if he's calling somebody out, which he does, he'll say that man or that woman. He doesn't call their name that I can remember in these other epistles. But I wanted to show you here that there's a balance to judge not lest you be judged, and how that really applies. So anyway, Paul is now writing a letter to Timothy, and starting in verse 14, it says this, "Remind them of these things, and charge them before Yahweh," or Elohim, "not to quarrel about" what? "Words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearer." So what is it doing when it says it's ruining the hearer? It's causing division. It's breaking up the unity of communities. And so what he's also going to tell you is this, and this is what I'm going to say here too, is this. Guys, we have the responsibility also not to hear things that we ought not to be hearing. We have the responsibility to say, wait a minute, this is crossing the line from just discussing something that may be doctrinal to where now we're getting in Lashon Hara or evil speech about somebody. There's so many scriptures here, I had to try to choose some to put in here, and you're going to see one that's going to balance it up in just a moment. But the thing about it is that words damage the hearers too. That's why it talks about death and life is in the power of the tongue. So we need to make sure the best we can that we judge things properly before we let words out, that they don't cause division. Verse 15, it says, "Do your best to present yourself." Now, see, here's the thing. How many times have we read 2 Timothy 2:15? We always quote this one, but we never quoted the one before it or after it. It says, "Do the best to present yourself to Elohim as one approved, a worker who readily needs not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth." We always hear that. And the thing about it is most people in the world always quote that. They believe that they're the ones that's right quoting the word of truth. Okay? But like I say here before, we only know what we've been taught. If you've been taught wrong, you know wrong. Not on your fault, but that's just the way it works. So the thing about it is, though, but this is a very, very true statement, that we are to present our, it says, do our best to present ourselves to Elohim, one approved. And so what we need to do is we need to rightly handle his word of truth. We need to rightly handle this word. That's what he's saying here. And then he says this, but avoid irreverent babble. What's babbling? Where does it come from? It comes from the tongue. It comes from the heart. For it will lead people into more and more what? Ungodliness. So he's talking about avoiding this irreverent babble, avoiding words, avoiding things that's going to cause division, because all it's going to do is lead us into more and more and more ungodliness. Verse 17. And their talk will spread like what? Gangrene. Everybody know what gangrene is? It gets in your body. My dad died when he was 80. He always felt if I ever went in the hospital, I'd never come out. And that happened. But he caused it. And for this reason, because he had such a fear of doctors and going in hospital. Now, he would always go once a week and get a sorry shot. And that's what he always said. When he was feeling bad, he would always go get a shot to make him feel better. But he never would tell the doctor exactly what was going on. And so we had fought this situation of his gallbladder that had gone bad for a long time. And he would hurt, and he would do, and he would hurt, and he would do. But he was so fearful until finally, he finally said, I can't take this no more. My mom's name was Brooks. He said, Brooks, you got to take me to the hospital. And so she called me, and I said, let's go. So we went, and we took him, and they said, man, we got problems. And so they transferred him down to Hattiesburg, Forest General. So we're down there. And so we're going through, and they're reading the EKG and everything, and they asked my mom, they said, and Joe Nick was the anesthesiologist, and we know him personally. And he said, well, Miss McClendon, when did your husband ever have a heart attack? And she said, I've never known him to have a heart attack. You know, and I didn't know either. She looked at me. I said, Dad has never had one that I know of. I'm thinking if you have one, you got to go to hospital or whatever. Well, anyway, she said, well, he's had one, and I don't think it's good to put him asleep. So he talked to the other doctor. The doctor said, if he don't go asleep, he's going to go asleep. You know, we got to operate. But evidently, but when they got in there, they got the gallbladder out, but he had waited so long that gangrene set up in his body. And when gangrene set up in his body, it got in his blood system. And so, and look, and Tammy will tell you that, you know, we prayed, we did everything that we knew to do and all of that, but as my brother was there, Charles and Linda, my sister, and mom and them, and we thought that he was doing better. He was doing good. He was talking and all of that. We thought he was going to come home in a couple of days. I went back to work. Charles went back to Texas, and Linda went back to Florida. But then we got, you know, a call that next night that he passed away. Because the deal was, is the gangrene, it had worked so hard on his other organs that he did have a heart attack. And the heart attack, you could say the heart attack killed him, but it was the gangrene. It was that. It was his body fighting and fighting and fighting, trying. But 80 years old, he just couldn't handle it. But it'll tell you this. Doctors will tell you this. When gangrene starts, it spreads. It don't take 2 or 5 years for it to grow. In other words, it only takes a small, and you go sepsis and it can't return. You can't. And this is why he's using this in the scripture. I just want to give you a picture of it. Because when this started in my dad's system and his age, his body just couldn't physically fight that off. I mean, they were pumping every antibiotic you know to try to help him. They didn't know if they were going to have to do with his kidneys how you do the dialysis. They thought but they didn't want to start that. They was afraid if they ever started it, you'd be locked in that forever. Is what they told us. I don't know, but the thing is, he started doing better. He started doing better, but his heart just couldn't take it, and that's what happened. And he passed. And when he passed, you know, my uncle was in there with my mom. You know, and the thing is he said, he looked up at Otis, Uncle Otis, Otis was his name. He said, Otis, he said, take care of Brooksy. And he said, Charles, Linda, Mark. And he went to sleep. Now, Mom didn't know he passed away. I mean, they're there and out in the lobby, and they're sitting out there. And finally, they came out, you know, I don't know how long later, and asked him, who do you want to call to come get the body? And Mom said, well, are y'all sending him to another hospital? They said, no, we thought you knew he had passed away. And they said, no, we didn't know. What happened? Because it happened so peaceful, they didn't even recognize it. You know, and I'm so thankful for that, you know, for those that's lost loved ones. We are thankful for a peaceful passing. But all I'm saying is this, and I give you that picture of something in the natural. This is what he's saying that can happen in the spiritual. You let spiritual gangrene get set out into people, it can spread so fast before you can kill it. And how many people do you lose before you end up killing the disease? the thing that we didn't deal with. And this is what he's saying is our words, that's why it says there's death and life, but death in the power of the tongue. What we say can get into somebody, can get in a community. And if it gets into a community and it starts to spread and gangrene sets up, it's hard to fight. It's hard to kill. Where do you cut it? Where do you spiritually take a scalpel and cut it? What do? You have to pray and let the Holy Spirit just... That's the only way you can do it. Because if not, you don't want to cut. That's why he says, the sower of the wheat and the tares. He said, the enemy came in at night and he sowed the tares among the field. Yeshua said, let them grow together. Why? Because if you don't, you're going to damage the wheat. And sometimes when things happen, you got to do that. Because when it comes to harvest, when it comes time for fruit, the wheat, because it has substance, will bow. And the tares, because they have no substance, will stand up. And they weigh because they have no fruit in it. They look like wheat, but it's not wheat. There's people that look like believers, but they're not believers. But you don't know until there's time of bearing fruit in the life. It's only when fruit is being born is can you tell if somebody is really a believer or not. We can play games. We can come in here every Shabbat. We can play games. People can go to church, been playing games for centuries. There's a whole lot of people that's going to wake up one day in eternity, and they're going to be in the wrong line. And they're going to have one question: how did I get here? But really, whenever he shows them and reruns that reel-to-reel of their life, then they're going to say, oh, that's how I got here. He's going to remind us how we got in this line. You know, because we didn't deal with the issues because we faked it all the way through. And that's why Yeshua called them hypocrites. Hypocrite in Hebrew is really a word called actor. That's where actors. That's an actor. An actor is a hypocrite. He's acting. He's playing the part of something that he's not. And the Father is saying, we're supposed to be children of the kingdom. So why are we acting like that? Why are we acting like something else? It goes both ways. So he says, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Now look what he does here. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philotas. That's the only way I know how to say their names. If you got a better way to say it, I know it looks like Philetus, but I went into the Greek and it says Philetus. F-E-L-A-T-O-S. So anyway, but what did Paul do right here? He called these two people out. He called them out. Now, how does that work? Judge not lest ye be judged. But here he calls them out, but here's the reason why. Who have swerved from the what? Truth. See, he's not talking about people that's got small offenses. He's talking about now people swaying people from the Torah. He's talking about people swaying people and teaching them. And here he told what it was. He says, saying that the resurrection had already happened. So this is what, has the resurrection already happened? If it has, we in trouble. I'm just telling you. Are we stuck here in this mess? If it is, I'm going hunting and fishing and enjoying the rest of my days. I don't know what y'all going to do. Because if this is all the hope we got, you know, go shoot my gun a little bit. I'm just saying. So if the resurrection has already happened, and this is what they were teaching, so what did it do? It says, they are unsettling the faith of some. This is the reason why he had to deal with the issue and he had to call them out by name. Because if you don't call out those who are spreading gangrene, what it was doing, it was unsettling the faith. Can you imagine if I come in here and all of a sudden I told you, I got the revelation. You know, do a little dance, do a little shouting and spitting and all that stuff. And turn around and tell everybody the resurrection has already happened. What are y'all going to do? Yeah, pick up stones? Throw lipstick at me? But I'm just saying, what if somebody... I mean, think about this now. You don't think... in telling everybody that the resurrection had already happened, that'd be a hard pill to swallow. They were left behind. That's right. There you go. We got that movie. Yeah, that movie's real. You know? what we're talking about at the end time, on that day of the trumpets and being raised from the dead, the resurrection has already happened. Definitely that resurrection had already happened because Yeshua had already been raised up. So what he's saying here is this, but here's why he called them out. He called them out because, and this is the principle here, if somebody is swerving people from the truth, we got to deal with it. When people are challenging Torah, basic Torah principles, look, I can honestly tell you, and you already know that, and we've said this many times, we don't know everything. We didn't even know what we know today back 30 years ago. We're slowly, he's revealing and we're learning and revealing and we're learning. But do you know what? If you don't walk out what he reveals, he's not going to show you nothing else. Somebody wants to ask me, what's the next step? I don't know what the next step is, but the next step. And I don't know what it is, but you know what? If I'm not taking care of or walking what he has shown me, I can promise you this, he's not showing me the next step. That's just the way it works. You know, how many people teach school? Most of us in here are homeschoolers. You know, what do you tell your child? Until you pass this, you're not going to the next page. It doesn't do any good to go to the next page if you can't learn this page. That's right. Now see, in that right there, that's where it says, judge not lest you be judged. In other words, you don't criticize. Everybody learns a little different. You don't just turn around and say, well, this is bless God, this is the way I've done it, everybody else got to do the same thing. No, everybody does learn different. Some people are sight, some people can read it. I do not, I'm telling you, I cannot see 3D. I can't do it. So when somebody, Rick can see 3D, he's an engineer. He can put it, Pete and Turn, all these builders, anybody that can build in carpentry can see 3D. They can see, the decorators, they can see in 4D. Let me just give them that because they're 4D. They're in a D of their own, okay? Decorators. But I'm just saying, you can show me, come here and sit down and you can draw it on a paper. And I'll ooh and all day long. I don't know what I'm looking at. I can wire and I can do AC work. I can shock you and I can make the shock get off of you. But other than that, I can't. Don't let me build you anything. If I come with an amen, amen. I'm telling you. If I come with an idea that I want to build you something, say I'm good. I'm good. And then go get Jeremiah and say, you know what, Pastor Mark, come over here. But could you help me build this? And don't tell him, because you're going to say that. Please don't tell him. You're going to hurt his feelings. It's not going to hurt my feelings. I cannot build. I can't see. I mean, I can cut boards and then still too short. But it's just the way it happens. I'm just not a builder. Now, I can help you. I can help you nail. I can help you hold. It don't mean that I get out of it and I can't help and serve and work. Because I can help hold. I remember when we was building a handful of houses in the past. They'd say, can you build a T? I said, or a corner. I said, how do you build a corner? How are you going to build it? What's a corner? And they say, this is what you do. Pete, you know, you're going to build a corner. I said, all right, you build me one. You build it? I said, man, I can do that. Two boards here, this board here. Back. They said, I need 12 of them. Go get me a bunch of 2x4s and leave me alone. I'm a corner man. Don't mess me up, though, because I'm on. And I can do that. But don't tell me there's a left corner, right corner, any kind of corner. Just give me a corner. I can build that dude if you. And I'm good at doing that while everybody else does the important things to make sure the house doesn't fall down when it's done. Amen? But I can help you do. So we all can do something. Amen? We can all serve. Now, when it comes to wiring and all that stuff, then I'll jump in there and we can do what we can do. But that's how that works. How in the world did I get on that subject? But really what had happened, everything in this word is very personable. That's really what he's saying here, is that we need to be careful that we don't unsettle people with our doctrines or unsettle people with stuff. That we need to make sure that if we do have a new revelation that is true, then we need to look at it. We need to go over it. And then we say, okay, now how does this apply? How does this fit? Because what they did here was definitely not a new revelation. But it was a wrong one, saying that the resurrection had already taken place. So we have to be very, very careful in what we say and what we do. All right, Proverbs. I'm just going to read some Proverbs here, and then we'll finish up in just a second. Proverbs 11:9. And then I got like 11 through 13 or whatever. But it just happens to do with the mouth. It says, with his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge, the righteous deliver or are delivered. Verse 11, by the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, breeds life. But by the mouth of the wicked, it is overthrown, death. It's even telling you, really what he's saying is if you got a righteous king who's bringing blessings in following the Torah, a city is exalted. But if you have a wicked king, one who is bringing wickedness, guess what? The whole city collapses. We see that in the scripture through Israel all over the place. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense. We don't need to be belittling people. But a man of understanding remains silent. If you don't have anything good to say, don't say nothing at all. Amen? If you just walk up there and just say, man, I just ain't got nothing to say, don't say nothing. Don't belittle your neighbor. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Now, I want y'all to listen to this one. You better listen to this one. This is important. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. But he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Now, what does that mean? This is what it means. It don't mean you're covering sin. It means you're recovering, repented of sin. That's what it means. You're not uncovering somebody's nakedness. Guys, for most of us in here, there's a few people that has never done anything wrong. I commend you. But for all the 99.9% of the rest of us, here's the thing. We've done certain things wrong in our life that was probably so bad that we don't share that. That we don't want to share that because it's very embarrassing and very shameful. Okay? If you choose to share that, that's for you to do, not for me to share something about you that's been repented of and it's under the blood. We're not to uncover, because if I share something about somebody, then that turns into slander. Because you need to tell your testimony, I don't. I need to tell my testimony, you don't. Because, yes, that's right. Boy, yeah, that's right. Knowing his son's a good thing. Go out there and tell the brothers. Boy, y'all have seen what I saw. Or whatever the case may be. That's right. We don't do that. That's what he's saying here. And this is very, very, that's what slander is. That we make sure that we don't, if somebody has a testimony, let them tell it. Now, I know how we are. Now, let me say this too. Everybody in this building, and some of y'all going to argue with me. I'm okay with that. Everybody in here is nosy. Everybody in here is nosy. I'm nosy. I got a big old nose. We're nosy. What does nosy means? I just want to know what's going on. I didn't say everybody in here was a busybody. A busybody is wrong. A busybody is sin. There's nothing wrong. Namitha's going to have a child. Now, the other day, I was at my house. I come in. We had all the ladies. They're over here. We had Candace and all the girls that was over here. And they're all doing their thing. And the girls all doing their thing. I went and took a bath. I came in. I'm dressed up. I come in. I get nice, you know. Brush my teeth and comb my hair and shave my legs. And so I come in here. I didn't shave my legs. So anyway, I come in here and I said, Namitha's going to the hospital. They erupted. I said, whoa. No, I was just rehearsing. She's not going. I was just rehearsing my announcement. And they just went wild. I mean, they were like, and they're like, oh, okay. Vicky said, you're a wolf. You're crying wolf. You're crying. I said, no, she didn't. I said, I wanted to practice to get my announcement right. That's all I was doing. Man, they just, you know what I'm saying? So words mean things. Especially that day, they went through the roof. I mean, my screens came off, my windows when they heard the news. they were all excited. I almost felt bad to tell them I was just practicing. Man, y'all have seen the disappointment on their face. But he tells us this, really and truly, that we're not, if we're revealing secrets, I want you to notice this. Lock this down. If you're revealing something about somebody that's been repented of, understand, no, slander ought to hit your mind. That's not good. You need to let them share that part. Because I'm going to tell you, sometimes we are a people also. When things go in here, it don't go down here sometimes. It goes in here and it just comes out here like it's a sinus cavity. Doop! I mean, it just rolls right out. We don't even get it. It doesn't even get in there and incubate. We need to not do that. If somebody's sharing something with us, they trust us. Amen? If somebody shares something with you, they trust you that you're not just going to let it go in your ear and out your mouth. Oh, man, I cannot believe that Mark did that. This is Tammy now. I can't believe my husband. I can't believe he did that. And then somebody, you know what Pastor Mark did? I mean, just don't even let it come in here, because sometimes we need somebody to talk to. Sometimes we need somebody that we can bounce something off of that they're not going to bounce it off of somebody else. You know, I want the opportunity to, if I need to decompress, I want to be able to bounce the ball and know that you're going to catch it and hold it. And you're not going to go dribbling it all over the place. You know, that's what it's about. Because if it happens that way, it becomes slander. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. It's an honor. It's an honor if somebody trusts you enough to tell you something. It's an honor. Don't ruin that. You can read whatever you want to read. Give it, boy, Mike.
I want to read Matthew 12 and 37. It says, "For by your words you will be justified and acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned and sentenced." It says in Ecclesiastes 5 and 6, "Do not allow your mouth to cause your body to sin. Do not say before the messenger or the priest that it was an error or a mistake. Why should Yahweh be made angry at your words and destroy the works of your hands?"
Ain't that the truth?
1 Peter 3 and 10, "For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech." Proverbs 6 and 2, "Thou art snared by the words of thy mouth, and thou art taken by the words of thy mouth."
Amen. Amen. That's exactly the truth. You want to look up, you hear the scriptures, just understand our mind. Most of our problems that we go through, most sicknesses that most everything that we have, it's self-induced. It's self-induced because of the things that we say and we do. All right, Proverbs 13, I just got two. We're going to finish up in Psalms. I got four more scriptures. And it says this, "For the fruit of his mouth, a man eats what is good, and the desires of the treacherous is for violence." So the people, in these guys that work in the sheriff's department, they'll tell you that what that is. The people who are treacherous, they think they're laying up for the innocent, but they devour themselves over and over and over again. Verse 3 and 13, it says this, "Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life, and whoever opens wide his lips comes to ruin." All right, let's go to Psalms 141. We're going to finish up with this. Guys, Psalms 141, 3 and 4. If this could be our prayer, if these two little verses, whenever you pray this week or whenever you're praying, just an idea. I'm not saying you have to do this. But if you would pray, this is what David prayed, and this is a prayer. "Set a guard, O Yahweh, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. Do not let my heart incline to any evil, to busy myself with wicked deeds, in company with men who work iniquity, and let me not eat of their delicacies." Let that be our prayer this week, that we will ask the Father, because we already know you can't do it on your own. James says that. We can't tame our own tongue, because he says you can tame every animal. You can read James chapter 3. I know y'all have many times. You understand what it says. your tongue sometimes, it sets a little spark, it burns the whole woods down, everything, you know what I'm saying? It ain't good. So what happened? We need help. That's what I'm saying I need help. I'm telling you, it starts with me. I need help. I need not to go in and get everybody excited about the birth of a baby. It was fun, but the thing is, but really and truly, you know, we need to really, really guard our tongues. So guard our tongues, let it be over our mouth and our lips. And guys, if we can do that, not only to get us, to make us have a good Sukkot, so that we have a great life. Our life doesn't start and stop there. One of these days, Sukkot's really going to happen whenever Yeshua returns. And I guarantee you better make sure you got a guard over your mouth then. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do just thank you for this portion. And Father, I just pray that you would just seal this. And Father, whenever we're this week, this is a great week to start. Father, as we're going through and we're, whether we're helping or whether we're at work or whatever's going on at school, whatever happens, Father, help us that whenever we're speaking, help us concentrate. Help us even hear what we're even saying. Father, hopefully and prayerfully, we will know before we even say it. But if we forget and we don't, help us hear what we're saying. And help us try to understand how would I take that, what I just said, if somebody said that to me. So, Father, I just pray this week that you would just work with us, because you bring this up, you know, all the time. I mean, there's scriptures all through that talks about us being on guard. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us guard our mouths and our lips. And, Father, may the things that we say produce life. May we speak blessing into people's lives. And, Father, I do understand that there's a proper way to deal with when someone is trying to unsettle people in a community. And may you give us the discernment to be able to handle these situations in a right, righteous manner. So, Father, with that, bless your people today, and we just give you honor for it. Amen.